Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus, and we'll do this one for you, Cecil. It comes in from Greg. It's kind of like it's a combination of two of our favorites.
Okay.
Here we go. A top 10 defensive player, Pat Surtain, had better be starting on week one. Tell me why I'm wrong, Cecil.
He's not wrong. Honestly, he should be starting because you could make the argument he's your best corner. Kyle Fuller is a hell of a player. Great player. He's also a little long in the tooth. Also, you know, a little bit banged up. Rawl Darby's, he's okay, but he's more of a number two corner. You draft Pat Surtain not to come in and compete. This isn't any sort of Michael Ojemudia, you know, type of prospect. Like, let's see what the kid's got and put him out there and rotate him in and bring him along. No. The expectation should be starting from day one. Again, as the texter points out, this is a top 10 pick. This is not some guy that you took in the third round hoping that he turns into something. You know what he is. You know what he can be. And you know that while you have veteran experience, you want your best 11 defenders on the field. I could say right now, assuredly, when you just say, regardless of position, who are the best 11 defensive players? Pat Surtain's on that list.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not starting by, you're right. Week one, certainly by, you know, once you get maybe past the quarter pole of the season, this guy should be. How many of the rookies do you think start?
Week one or just at some point as a rookie?
Well, both. Week one.
Week one, there should be two, and that should be Pat Surtain, and that should be Baron Browning. I also think Javonte Williams should be in that conversation. I want to say three, but as we all know, Melvin Gordon's getting a lot of money to be pretty average, honestly. And the way that I said it during our draft coverage is that Javonte Williams is the player that Melvin Gordon, like, you know, when you visualize an attack, right, as I quote Waterboy for like the seventh time this morning, you visualize an attack. I think when Melvin Gordon thinks of himself, he thinks he's a player like Javonte Williams. He's not. Like, he thinks he's a power runner. He's not. He usually, like, doesn't avoid contact, which isn't a bad thing, but then he'll go down on said contact. Instead of, like, in college, when Melvin Gordon, 65% of his carries went outside the tackles, he was a speed guy in college. He was so exciting at Wisconsin, and that was years ago, and I think the Chargers kind of ruined him to kind of force him as this inside runner when that's not his thing. Javonte Williams lives inside the tackles, and he beats you up, again, with those broken tackles, with that Eddie George-like stiff arm. This guy's out there, you know, being an authority on the field. So for me, if you take the money out of it and you just say, who's the best running back, it's easily Javonte Williams. If you were to construct this running back room the right way, meaning, again, taking money and veteran deference out of the way, you would say Gordon is the change of pace to Williams. I don't think the Broncos do that, at least initially. I don't think they would do that week one. I would hope they would. But again, Melvin Gordon's making a ton of money to pretty much not do a whole lot, in my opinion. So for me, Williams, Gordon, it's a 1-2 punch, and pretty soon the two's going to become the one, and pretty soon the one's going to become, well, an afterthought.
This text comes in on the Ramelsod.com text line, 303-713-1043. Evans, stop being Mr. Sunshine and go back to being the realist that we love. I know this is kind of a rare situation I find myself in where I'm trying to find the silver line. It's really not trying to just find the silver line. The whole thing about the quarterback, I know that when it comes to talking about quarterbacks, sometimes, oftentimes, emotion wins the day over anything else, any other emotion, right?
Right.
And I choose to try to look at this with a little bit of logic and just kind of follow where I'm going here, okay? The Broncos, in their search for a new GM, picked George Payton. And what did we immediately hear? This is a guy who has been well-schooled, well-versed in the running of an NFL franchise, serving as Rick Spielman's right-hand man in Minnesota. While you can argue that Minnesota never climbed to the highest heights, no one would argue that it is one of the more solidly run franchises in the NFL.
Right.
Then we heard more about George Payton. And what did we hear? This is a guy, when it comes to GMs, very few people will work harder than George Payton will when it comes to grinding through tape, really studying players, really doing his due diligence on players. This is a guy who puts in a serious, crazy amount of work. He will be well prepared. Correct so far?
Yes. Yeah.
Then we get into free agency. And I would say the overall reaction through free agency was very positive with what Payton had done. Again, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And along with that high grade, high marks, good reception for what he did in free agency was the idea of, hey, look, you're seeing how this guy really puts in the work, really puts in the time, has contacts around the league, works those contacts, and it looks like it's been borne out with a pretty good free agent class. Everybody with me so far? So when it comes to the quarterback evaluation of these draft picks, he knows how much of a microscope these quarterbacks are put under. I would assume that he did just as much hard work or more when it came to evaluating these quarterbacks. He also knows from the time that he has spent, even a short amount of time that he has spent here in Denver, that this is a town that's quarterback crazy and that is really been talking about a new quarterback for years. He's aware that they passed on Josh Allen. Would you agree, Cecil? He's aware of all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
He knows that.
So here's my last point here. I'm just trying to look at this, not overly Mr. Sunshine optimistically. I'm just trying to look at this logically. Do you think he all of a sudden took stupid pills? I mean, when it came to everything that he has put on his resume to get this job and then the early returns of what he did as the new GM of the general manager of the Broncos, so that when it comes to the quarterback position, he all of a sudden just got stupid. I got to believe that if we look at this guy as somebody that we feel puts in the work, is connected with people around the NFL, and has a pretty good sense of who these players are and are not, if he liked but didn't love Justin Fields, I got to believe there were some valid reasons why. And that if you could take some of the emotion out of it and just maybe put yourself in George Payton we trust category here for a while, trust that the guy did the work and he just didn't fall in love with the guy.
Well,
what's wrong with that, just looking at it from a logical standpoint, other than it all being about emotion? You're like, well, we needed a quarterback, and sometimes you just got to take a gamble. Cecil, I don't want my GM thinking that way. I don't want my GM to ultimately resort to, well, I don't love him, but I'll roll the dice. I don't want that.
Right.
You?
And John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were saying, like, we don't listen to the fans. Like, we think it's kind of funny when we see people on, Twitter being like, they need to get this guy, they need to get that guy. Like, find your guy and love your guy. By the way, connected, well-respected, the work ethic, and the grind is there. People think, hey, watch football for a living. That must be really easy. It's a grind. It is. It's an enjoyable grind for, freaks, but it is something that just isn't easy. It's not something everybody can do. And here's one thing. I mean, look at what he's tried to do with the quarterback position, right? He's going to be in the conversations. He's not going to be overly aggressive. He's not going to be reckless with what he does with the quarterback position. If he had got Matthew Stafford and put together this type of draft, and, some of the picks might not have been there or whatever, but, like, the first move that he tried as general manager was to get Matthew Stafford. You think he doesn't know quarterback needs an upgrade? You think he's really happy with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater? Seriously, really? Do you think an outsider, he has zero ties, Drew Lock's biggest supporter is John Elway, he's going to be on Lake Tahoe making $6 million this year, okay? His biggest supporter is John. You don't have that with George Payton. It's like Payton came in as like, man, I really like this guy. He comes in just looking at it cold, and perhaps that is the best way to do it. And speaking of John, George Payton has done something that quarterbacks in the past have had trouble with, and that's the shadow of John Elway. John Elway is the king of Denver. Say what? Oh, he screwed up the draft and can't find a quarterback. Whatever. We know that he's the king of the Mile High City. George Payton comes in, and he doesn't even really respond to the shadow of Elway. You know, and I know as a general manager it's different, but you're talking about a Super Bowl winning general manager. And George Payton has come in and not been intimidated by the fact that he's taken over for that guy who got his promotion demotion from the Broncos this year. Like, to have that sort of wherewithal, that mindset, that focused drive, if you will, from George Payton, I think that's also something we need to highlight and really appreciate here in Broncos country.
Last thing that I just want to put into this from the whole, let's try to look at this pragmatically, look at it logically. George Payton knows that if he had gone out and picked a quarterback at number 9, he would have been a hero in this town. And you know what? He would have bought himself an immediate 3-year grace period.
Right.
Because when you take a quarterback that high, you've automatically bought yourself as a general. Now, maybe not a coach, but as a general manager, you've bought yourself at least a 3 to 4 year grace period. He could have done all that. And it would have been an easy, easy thing to do. But he passed on it. And boy, that's got to tell you that after all the work he did and all the evaluation he did, he just didn't feel it with Justin Fields. And I find that good, because it would have been the easy thing to do to take a quarterback like Fields. The fact that he did the hard thing, the unpopular choice, I actually kind of like the guy even more.
Well, are you your own man? You know what I mean?
Know?
Like, and again, John Elway's still there. You know, who knows how much and you know, how involved he is in all these sorts of things. That's up for debate. But are you your own man? Do you make your own decisions? If you're getting Justin Fields when you don't love him, now, should he have loved him? That's a different story. But if you don't love him, if you've evaluated him and you don't love him, don't force it, because the fans will like you for 3 years. The fans will turn on you in a heartbeat if Justin Fields doesn't work out. And you could make the argument then he could double dip, because, you know, that's something I was saying before the draft. Like, if you love a guy, take him, and you can double dip if he doesn't work out, because you've got 6 years. But this reminds me of when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took over in San Francisco. Do you remember the length of their contracts? It was 6 years. You give someone that sort of breathing room, not because, hey, you can go out there and be average. I mean, this is Broncos country. I get sick and tired when people are like, I just hope we can make the playoffs. That's not what it's supposed to be about here. It's supposed to be about making championship runs. So you give a guy time to build the roster his way, his vision, his focus, and to take the hard road. You said something, Mike, that I think needs to be unpacked or at least emphasized by all the fans out there. To take the hard road when the easy road's right there. Take Justin Fields and everybody loves you. Your team may not be that good. You're probably going to fire Vic Fangio after this year. Like, no. Take the hard road. See what you can do. The Rodgers thing's still looming out there. And then go forward building the roster with guys that you do love, that you do feel committed to.
The only pause I'm going to throw into all of that is, boy, I hope that the moves that George Payton made this weekend or didn't make had zero to do with trying to make Vic Fangio look good with arguably a lame duck 1 year left to prove what he can do. I hope he didn't take guys or pass on guys simply to try to make life easier for Vic Fangio. And I hope that they didn't take or pass on guys simply because, well, he doesn't fit Pat Shurmur's system. None of the moves that you should make, which all the moves should be long-term vision, none of the moves should be made with the idea of how can I prop up Vic Fangio or how can I get around Pat Shurmur. I hope that didn't play much of a role. I hope it didn't play any of a role.
Well, and that's why you can see with these players, like who started day one, all this stuff, you can see the blueprint for 2022. And as I said earlier, you can see an identity that has now been found by the Denver Broncos. All these guys are aggressive. all these guys are super, you know, violent to the football. If we're talking about the defensive players that they've added, they play with an aggression. They play with a mean streak. It's exactly what this team is wanting to be, that image of George Payton that he's trying to create on the football field. And quite frankly, if Baron Browning doesn't work out, it's not really on him. It's on the Broncos. Don't screw that up. You got a guy that should have been drafted in the second round, not at the end of the third. You know, Javonte Williams, best back in this class. He is. Could have been a first-round pick. And you move up, you get him. If he doesn't work out because you're trying to make Melvin Gordon thing, well, that's not on him. It's on Pat Shurmur. So it's about building this roster for this season. But also, you can tell by this draft class how much they've also put stock into 2022, 2023, and beyond.
Some more reaction on the RamosLive.com text line. Cecil, I am catching up listening to the earlier hour podcast. Did you honestly say that this roster is as good or better than the Chiefs? Preposterous.
Okay.
Showtime.
Showtime. Yeah, if you add Aaron Rodgers, now all of a sudden you have a roster, a full roster that is better than Kansas City. Because I say, okay, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Javonte Williams? Well, I'm going to take Williams, and if they were in the same class, I'd take Williams ahead of that. Now, Tyreek Hill is tough to beat, right? You got Cortland Sutton, you got Jerry Jeudy, you got K.J. Hamler, you got Tim Patrick. Those four receivers are better than Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson or Byron Pringle. All right, Travis Kelce. He's better than Noah Fant, but Noah Fant's up and coming. How much better? You know what I mean? The offensive line, it's kind of funny. Aaron Rodgers is like, hey, can I get some help in the draft? And the Packers are like, here's some defensive players. And then Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl goes, ow, and they give him five new offensive linemen. So, you know, the offensive lineman's been reworked. We can have that conversation. But I go over to the defensive side, and I look at what the Broncos have compared to, you know, Frank Clark, Chris Jones. These guys are good players. I like Jaron Reed as well. But I look at what the Broncos have in Bradley Chubb, in Von Miller, in Shelby Harris. You know, we know that Mike Purcell is a great nose tackle. Inside linebacker is a weakness. Sorry, Alexander. Then you look at the secondary. Their secondary now, you know, outside of Tyrann Mathieu. So if you take Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Simmons, is that a wash? Matthew's a different player than Simmons, but still, in terms of talent, in terms of impact, is that a wash? You take the secondary for the Broncos, it's better than the secondary of the Chiefs. So, yes, I stand by what I said. If they add Aaron Rodgers, you are now better than Kansas City.
Wow. That's... Oof. There's no doubt you are... Let me see if I can work my way up to that. Okay. Hold on. Let's start doing a little process of elimination here. Okay.
Okay.
Before I go right there, let me start to take some layups here. You know, it's like, let me see if I can do what Drew Lock doesn't and take the easy 8-yard completion. Okay. So are you now automatically the second best team in the AFC West? Yes. Yes, I'm confident in saying
that. Okay, second best.
Okay,
all right.
You're absolutely second now. That's that. Hey, we've improved. We've gone from fourth to second, just like that.
Right.
Are you better than, I'm looking around the rest of the AFC. Are you better than Tennessee? Yep. Are you better than Indy? Yep.
You better than Cleveland?
Yep.
You better than Baltimore?
Yep.
Notice how I don't say Pittsburgh.
You're better than Pittsburgh. Are you better than Miami? Yep.
Are you better than the Bills?
That's a good question. I can't go there yet because I like for all the slobbering over Josh Allen, they've built a really good team there.
And they had a really nice draft. And they added some defensive players that can get after the quarterback. So Buffalo's got it all, man.
And
they're
boy,
really
Stephon,
solid.
Stephon Diggs, I give Stephon Diggs credit because he really makes me reevaluate or put him in a special category to the whole idea of the wide receivers are a dependent position because, boy, you look at Josh Allen before and Josh Allen after Stephon Diggs. I can point to a huge impact made by Stephon Diggs. But I'll put Buffalo ahead.
Okay.
So the only two teams, if you add Aaron Rodgers to the mix, yeah, the only two teams I would say would be still better than the Broncos would be Buffalo and Kansas City. Hey, that's not a bad place to be. Before you even play a snap, you're confident that you're the third best team in the AFC?
What are they now without Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean? 16 teams in the conference. What are they, 12? Seriously. So you jump up that high, and I'd put him at number one with Aaron Rodgers. This roster is really, really good. And I know, you know, Stink somewhere shaking his fist at me talking about Pro Football
Focus.
He's
on I Told You Island right now,
but
shaking his fist.
When PFF ranks him as the sixth best roster in the league,
yeah,
not in the conference, in the league.
That's a little bit high for me. But, yeah, I disagree with Stink from the standpoint. I don't think they're wretched, but, you know, I don't. I think they're at least around middle of the pack or slightly above average, you know, if you want to come in with the 15th or 14th best roster, but six is a little lofty.
Here's where they're not above the pack. It's coaching. Because we're talking about Kansas City, you know, that's Andy Reid. Andy Reid's going to outcoach Vic Fangio, you know, and Pat Shermer and all that kind of thing. Here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers I don't think enough people get, and Stink talks about this. When you add a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he makes coaching easier. One, because you kind of don't have to coach. You know, it'd be like Adam Gase. Pat Shermer, just be quiet, let Aaron Rodgers do what he wants, and then be a head coach in 2022. Because that's what had happened with Shermer. Shermer probably get a job before Eric Bieniemy, and that says something. I don't know if you want to go down that road, but like, okay, if you're Pat Shermer, hey, you got Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, let him do whatever he wants. It makes coaching easier. It makes recruiting and free agency easier. It makes your franchise worth more money since this team's going to sell in a year or whatever the number is. Like you just get so much value. And with the roster that you've built, now Rodgers has come in and he doesn't have to do everything. This roster is better than the roster that Peyton Manning took over. And I've always said the best Peyton Manning Broncos team was 2012.
Correct.
The stupid one against Baltimore where they lose in double overtime and Jacoby Jones. That was a really solid team all the way around. And the team that Rodgers would be taking over is better than that team.
The only thing I disagree with, that offense had a little bit more, you know, gristle. You know, a little bit more veteran guys. This offense is still pretty young. To think that they're all going to make the leap, you know, that kind of leap. I get it. I'm saying third. I just can't go to first in the division yet.
I'd go to first in the conference.
I would have to say, yeah, you're going. Well, you said it. You said when we were the other night talking about the prospects of landing Rodgers, what would that mean? And you said right away, they're a Super Bowl team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, why mess around? I mean, you add that sort of talent, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. And this is a move we could see, you know, like Tom Brady. And I know different team and certainly different coaching with BA. And, you know, again, that's kind of the thing. Is it like John Fox? When Foxy was with Peyton Manning, it's like, it's good. It's really good. It's not great. You know, is that a change that would have to be made? Perhaps. But you're at least in the conversation. You're out of the doldrums. Mike, you've been in, what you're saying, I've been in Denver radio for 30 years or whatever, like, whatever the number is. Like,
23.
Dude, you know this town. You know this team. This isn't right. These aren't the Broncos. We're watching imposters out there on the field. Because if they were the Broncos, Super Bowl contenders would be what they are. That's what we're used to this team being. Even when Mike Shanahan was going 8-8. You and I had argue on the No BS Broncos postgame show about, like, what can they do at quarterback and Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer, and all that kind of stuff. But we were having those conversations because we believed that if they did the right moves, now you are an AFC championship type of team. You are a playoffs. It was always playoffs. Get out of here with this. And now you're, like, begging. Fans are begging for this team to be a wild card. That's not who this team is. That's not what in their DNA. That's not who they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's why when we have these quarterback conversations, right? And let's go back to Justin Fields because he's the one that's top of mind for everybody.
Right.
Let's understand when you're talking about this guy, you have to ask yourself, okay, is this the kind of quarterback that brings us back to being relevant? Is this the quarterback that makes us a contender? Unless he's somebody that you believe passes the confetti test. Unless you believe this is a guy that can lead this team back to a championship, then he's not the guy you should be picking.
Right.
I don't want... You know, it's funny, when you look back on all the quarterbacks that were taken in the top 10 over the last 20 years, and you look at how few of them really, really, you know, changed the fortunes of their franchise. You know, there were several of them that had winning records. But, man, you take some of these quarterbacks that had winning records, and you take their record and say, okay, project that record on Justin Fields. And... tell me if you're going to be satisfied with that. No right. way. This fan base wouldn't be satisfied with that. And there were plenty of quarterbacks who were taking that high who had a winning record, even won a playoff game or two. But at the end of the day, you look back on their careers, you're like, Matthew Stafford. Does anybody want a Matthew Stafford-type run here from a Bronco quarterback? I don't.
You want better.
He was a below 500 quarterback who never won a playoff game. Okay, he was the starting quarterback in Detroit for a long time, so I guess in that case he checked a box in that he was a consistent starter for a long time. But anybody can do it. Look up Matthew Stafford's record, his career record, and then ask yourself, would that fly for me here in Denver? And I guarantee it wouldn't. So those are some of the things you're looking for. All right, we'll get to some more of your texts. A lot of them, a lot of questions about some of these new Broncos that people are trying to learn a little bit about. Don't worry, Cecil knows all about them. Right down to whether or not they have electric toes. We'll get to that. Also, LeBron James may still not be back in midseason form physically. Oh, but he's in postseason form when it comes to crying. The latest example next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Cecil Lammy doing an amazing job filling in. Thank you so much, Cecil. Chad Brown's going to be in tomorrow. This text comes in. The only good reason to pass on Fields and draft PS2, that'd be Pat Surtain the second,
yes,
is because the team is convinced that they will get either Watson or Rodgers. That is all. No way around it. No other way to justify it.
Relax.
Okay, so, Cecil, do you believe that if George Payton was living in a world that did not include the possibility of Deshaun Watson, once if he gets past his legal issues being made available,
right,
or Aaron Rodgers being available, that if he did not live in that world, that he would have drafted Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think that texter's right on the money because... again, George Payton's no dummy, right? He's not going to look at this quarterback situation and say, we're fine. He's going to say that, and all the team-friendly spin doctors will be like, it's totally fine. George Payton, he said he likes him. He totally likes him. The first thing he tried to do was replace Drew Locke. Like, okay, it didn't get Matthew Stafford. Out. So I really like the guy. Can we get Stafford? No. Checking in on these other guys, whatever, like Watson, Rodgers. Like, yes, the upgrade there is needed, and it has to be part of the conversation. I know it may not be fair to Pat Surtain, to PS2, but, like, it has to be part of the conversation because if you're thinking that you have a shot at Rodgers, and the fact that he wants to come here, when's the last time anybody wanted to come here? Right? When Peyton was here. Let's be honest. That's why Emmanuel Sanders lied. Remember that story, Mike. Emmanuel Sanders lied to Andy Reid to leave Kansas City so he could go sign with Denver because Peyton Manning was here. All right? That's the type of attraction that you will be if you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who wants to be here. And God bless him. Broncos country wants him here. It's easy, but it has to be sewn into the conversation, melted in, whatever you want to say, because you don't make that decision without the fact of you knowing, wait a second, especially because he says he likes Justin Fields, maybe didn't love him, but you don't make that decision if you're not thinking in the back of your mind, we were in on Watson, who wants to be here. You know, probably going to be on in on Rodgers, who wants to be here. Like, you have these other options. They are drying up, and you are playing a dangerous game. But you can't look. If you're a great personnel man, right, we all believe that George Payton is. Man, what a great mind. What an eye for talent. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock are not a good plan. Nicest guys ever. It's not a good plan. If it has to be your plan, then so be it. But it's probably not George Payton's ideal plan.
I'll tell you what. As much as I give George Payton a lot of credit for, he could have done the easy thing and the popular thing. It would have been very, very easy for him to be taking Justin Fields, and he passed on him. It kind of makes me admire him a little bit even more. But I do know where he sits right now in the court of public opinion, and all the people who are down on Payton for not taking Fields are trying to still say, hey, but you can redeem yourself by trading for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
If you think Broncos country's down on George Payton right now, let Aaron Rodgers be available and not close that deal. So let your first few months on the job pass on a quarterback at 9 and then not close the deal for Aaron Rodgers if he's available, and let him go someplace like, oh, I don't know, Vegas with the Raiders? Oof. Oof, the honeymoon. Forget about the honeymoon. The honeymoon ended like, that was so 2020. I mean, it is, this guy is just fighting uphill from day one.
Yeah, you're asking for an annulment.
Yeah, right.
That's basically what you're doing.
Can we annul this? Can we get a mulligan?
Well, you said Vegas, right? Like, right. It's like the Britney Spears second wedding or whatever. It's like, hey, 9 days later, you're like, yeah, this isn't working out. This really isn't our thing. If the two teams, because San Francisco was in the mix, but if the two teams left are Vegas and Denver, you better get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, you better not. He's not playing for Green Bay. Sorry, Green Bay. You could fire Brian Gutekunst. You could do everything you want. He's not playing for Green Bay this year. He's playing somewhere else, so why not here?
I want to switch gears a little bit. LeBron James is back just in time for the Nuggets game tonight. And LeBron James
has been activated.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Ah. Boy, the Lakers are really struggling. So much so that they are in danger of being put into that NBA play-in tournament. Which, let me see if I can quickly describe it here. Okay. And then we'll set up what LeBron has to say. So this is the way it works. The teams that are in the West, 7 through 10, the 7th place team will host the 8th place team in a one-game matchup. Winner of that game earns the number 7 seed in the playoffs. 9th place team will host the 10th place team. One-game matchup. The loser of that game, eliminated. The loser of the 7th versus 8th place game will host the winner of the 9th place versus 10th place game in a one-game matchup. The winner of that game earns the number 8 seed. And then from that point, the playoffs proceed as usual. Here's what LeBron James had to say about the Lakers' prospects of playing in that tournament.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day. If I'm not, 100%, close to 100%, it don't matter, where we land. That's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Whoever came up with that bleep needs to be fired.
All right.
Is this crying LeBron? Or is this actually LeBron making a lot of sense?
Well, this is LeBron from that video that went viral. I'm 36, right? I'm not Thanos. Okay. And then this bleep about the play-in thing. LeBron whining. I don't think anybody should be surprised on this, as I can't even say be surprised. But, yeah, nobody should be surprised about this. And especially, now that we're getting towards the postseason, you're going to see more of this. So if you are the Nuggets, be prepared, because off the court, there's some whining. On the court, there's going to be crying and complaining about the officials and not getting a call, and that's what we get with LeBron. The greatest of all time for some. Not for me.
Not for me.
But for some.
All right, good. Ooh, glad we're on the same page there.
Well, no one's going to beat MJ. Like, that's just
a bunk conversation.
I know.
For anybody who tries, well, let me find out what the millennials are thinking. Millennial Ben, are you from the age that believes that LeBron is the GOAT?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Because he's flawless in the finals. Oh, wait,
my
no.
God. I weep for the future of this country, of this world. If that's the popular opinion out there among the millennials. One more text here. This goes back to people being a little caught off guard that I'm being so sunshiny optimist today. If the hardcore Evans is a work the bone kind of guy, then silver lining Evans, does he pull the meat off the bone softly? Oh, the meatballs. It's interesting you say that. I'd like to look at what George Payton did by passing on Justin Fields, kind of like the way I approach my chicken wings. Okay, now see if you can follow this. Okay, I'm trusting that George Payton did his due diligence, really did an exhaustive deep dive into Justin Fields, so that if he chose to pass on Justin Fields, we can take it on good authority with a certain amount of confidence that, you know, he just doesn't believe in Justin Fields, and that maybe that should tell you something about Justin Fields. It's kind of like me with wings. You can trust people with every fiber of your being that if I recommend a place's chicken wings, they're good. Because you know I've done my due diligence.
I like working the bone.
You know I've done my work. And if I'm telling you, yeah, I'll pass on this place and their wings, you can take it to the bank. How's that sound? Is that good? Is that good? Is that a good analogy?
Sounds like a winner to me.
Huh? Right? I'm going to call it the George Payton chicken wing theory. Hey, look, when it came to Justin Fields, you know, he just didn't believe in working the bone. Okay, there you go. All right, we'll come back and some more text in. A lot of questions for Cecil, so we'll give Cecil one more run through all these Bronco prospects and who he likes and why. That's next. Very emotional Millennial Ben I was talking to during the break, Cecil.
Uh-oh.
I think... the only emotion that Benny feels more raw than the Broncos passing on Justin Fields is the idea that Mac Jones succeeds in New England. He does not like Mac Jones. He calls him Squishy Mac.
He waddles.
Because of his body type, you know?
Yeah, it's always interesting when you see the dudes with hips and he's out there waddling. And listen, I don't want my quarterback to be rocked up. Any quarterback, and I have seen a lot of quarterbacks without their shirts on.
Yes, you have.
And it's what you need to do. You need to do this. But any quarterback that I've seen that's like rocked up, like Curtis Painter stunk up the joint. Tim Tebow, right? He's all rocked up.
Right.
You just get too stiff. You get too rigid as a passer where you can't follow through. So to me, if you look a little doughy as a quarterback, I'm fine with that. Mac Jones has a lot of other problems just besides his physique.
But he's really worried. Millennial Ben is worried. He's like, oh, no, what happens if New England goes on another 15-year run with Squishy Mac as their quarterback? Do you see any potential of that happening?
It's the perfect spot for him. I said before the draft, like, Mac Jones isn't for the Broncos, but he is for New England or he is for New Orleans. Like, that type of system where he can use quick, short to intermediate throws, that's what he does best. And when you look at 80% of his snaps, there was no pressure. When he was throwing, he's, you know, behind the world's greatest offensive line. How many Alabama players were drafted? You know, they're getting everybody drafted. A dozen, Baker's dozen. I don't even know the number. But, you know, he's throwing to these three, four first-round picks. He's protected, handed off to a first-round pick. Like, you know, he had everything set up for him to succeed in college. And in the right system where he's just getting rid of the ball quickly, short to intermediate, that works. His arm's not as bad as people think. But it certainly won't. His deep passes flutter. He's not going to attack the edges of a defense. So you have to use him the right way. And I think Josh McDaniels can get that out of him.
Okay. Squishy Mac. There you go. Millennial Ben. I like this text. Stop the stupid talk regarding Fields. The Jets took Zach Wilson, who was competing for his job at the start of the year, over Fields. The 49ers took a lower-level guy with 17 games over Fields. The Dolphins chose Tua over Fields. The Panthers chose Darnold over Fields. Give the Broncos a pass. Cut them some slack for not going with Fields. I mean, there is something to that, okay? That if for everyone saying, oh, the Broncos are going to rue the day that they passed on Justin Fields. Well, there is sort of an industry-wide message that was sent out regarding Justin Fields. Now, you could totally disagree with it, but the texture does make a point. When this whole exercise began way back, you know, last October, November, at that time, the consensus was you had two sure things in this draft. You had Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Right.
So much so that it got to the point where, hey, maybe, especially with Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville, maybe Justin Fields goes number one overall. So what does it say that the Jets chose Wilson over Fields? What does it say that the 49ers chose Lance over Fields? Why does it say that Miami, this is a great point by the texter. Hey, if Fields is all of that, why did Miami, they could have gone the Arizona route and said, well, we blew it with Josh Rosen, let's take Kyler Murray. But they still felt that they were better off going with Tua. And never mind the Panthers. The Panthers decided that Justin Fields wasn't such a sure thing that they decided to ride it out with Sam Darnold. So, I don't know. How does that, to you, factor in when it comes to, oh, my goodness, how could you pass on Justin Fields?
Well, I think that's a bunk argument because you can take any quarterback that fell and be like, well, everyone passed on it. Deshaun Watson. The Chiefs passed on him and the Bears passed on him. Like, okay, yeah, it's cute to say sitting around a sports bar and bring something like that up, but the honest reality is teams are going to make mistakes. The honest reality is I think Justin Fields went to, like, the worst possible destination. Because I don't think Matt Nagy's any sort of genius there, and he's got to save their franchise. He's got to save his job. We know both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. This is it. They get one shot. That's all they get. And Justin Fields has all of this on him. He's not in a great system. Talent around him's decent, offensively. But I look at it and I say, well, wait a second. How much did, and I'll say, sabotage was there on Justin Fields? How much of is it real? In terms of what he did or did not do on the field, and I could talk about his negatives. His processor's a little slow. I'd like to see him speed up. And that's a big thing, by the way, because I don't think you can speed that up. I think you kind of, your processor is what it is. Now, look at Fields.
That's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. But we look at the sabotage. Dan Orlovsky's talking out of his ass, all right? And I clean it up for radio, whatever. But what Orlovsky said about Fields, without actually checking, was preposterous. It was stupid. It was moronic. It was very ignorant.
The work ethic part, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
because
yeah,
put in a call to his coaches, and you know, put in a call to anybody that's been around Justin Fields. This is not Dwayne Haskins. All right? And maybe there was like a Haskins hangover, if you will, for some people out there. And what Ohio State quarterback? But again, what Missouri quarterback are we talking about? So I look at it and say, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, the Jets passed on him and all these other guys. Yeah, it's the Jets. Although I do like Robert Saleh. To me, you know, where's that truth? And I think the mechanical issues, I think the processor issue, which may be there, he processed in terms of going through his reads, but he could also speed that up, in my opinion. That's the biggest factor as to why he, quote unquote, fell in the draft.
Okay. The Bronco pick that you are most excited about, if you had to pick one Bronco in this draft that you believe is a sure thing, can't miss, will sign a second contract with the Broncos, and has the best chance of ending up on their Ring of Fame someday, it is?
Javonte Williams.
The running back.
And not
Pookie.
Because he's going to be my new bowling partner, right?
Yes.
He's
going to
be
CJ
my new
Anderson.
CJ Anderson. Exactly. But this is the type of guy that, let's say you traded back in the draft and you're sitting in the 20s, Javonte Williams was an option for you there. You could have picked him up. You move up to get him. It's clear of what he can do on the field, and running backs translate easiest to the NFL. it's kind of the easiest to scout, in my opinion, because, you know, what they're doing in college is what they should do in the pros, and what he did in college was dominate. What he did in college was intimidate. What he did in college was be aggressive as a runner, wear you down, look good in pass protection, good option as a receiver out of the backfield. He can play on all three downs, doesn't need to come off the field, should be your lead back. Melvin Gordon's probably the lead back because he makes a bunch of money, but Javonte Williams is better, and one day we'll show how much better he is.
Woo! All right. Calling your shot. All right, I like it. I like the scouts. Who are they? Jeff Legwald, okay, he puts his top 50 together. He said he believed the Broncos with their top four picks got four guys inside the top 50. You agree with that?
Miners is just outside of my top 50. He's okay. My number 55 pick.
All right, so there you go. So in your case, four guys in your top 55.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll take that. By the way, one last question. Cecil, is this wilderness training guy the real deal, or are we just stockpiling guards?
He has the ability to be the real deal. He has everything that you want in terms of toughness, work ethic, and the desired, desire to be great in the NFL. Miners is an underrated, under-the-radar pick, and one that the Broncos will be very happy with in the future.
And it sounds like they're going to start him off at center.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Cush in trouble?
He is. He honestly is. I mean, he struggled as a rookie. I gave him a pass as a rookie. But he's got to be better. And Miners is aggressive. Cushenberry's not.
All right,
that's the difference.
Last question for you. Because we can't trust Juwan James,
he sucks.
Who is their fallback right tackle? Because they didn't address it in free agency or the draft. So who is their fallback right tackle if Juwan James goes out and is Juwan James?
I think it could be Dalton Risen.
All right. I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah. And then Miners is playing left guard because he started 2 years of left guard. He never played center. He taught himself to play center by snapping to a garbage can.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. I like that. Self-taught, knocking down trees, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Cecil, man, I appreciate you. You are an all-star this weekend. I mean, our draft coverage is the best in town because of what you bring to it. And you never stopped for four straight days and nights. So thank you so much and being right back here early Monday morning. I truly, truly appreciate it, my man.
Yeah. Be good, buddy.
All right. There he goes, Cecil Lammy. We got Sandy and Orlando. Their thoughts on the Broncos draft. Kind of grade do they give it? By the way, Mel Kiper gave it a B. Cecil a B+. What say you? We got Cecil. We got Sandy and Orlando coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.